Welcome back to the Hairdresser Strong News, and what does it have to do with you? Today's news report is all about employment, things to think about if you're a business owner and you have employees, if you are an operator, service provider, and you see the public. There is consumer sentiment in today's report, as well as information that'll affect you, your clients, and your business. Inflation. It's got a little crazy with the upcoming Beauty Business Brunch this weekend. Hopefully you're coming. These type of conversations, one of our panels will be talking about investing, retirement planning. So let's dive right in. I'm going to share my screen and you can see I have an article pulled up by CNBC and it is by Amelia Lucas titled Ex-CEO Howard Schultz Says Starbucks Needs to Revamp Its Stores After Big Earnings Miss. There's a couple of companies that analysts look at to determine consumer sentiment or potentially be a headwind or some sort of signal what's going to happen in the economy. Starbucks is one of them. Home Depot is also one. So Home Depot is like people working on their homes, and Starbucks is people being willing to spend a little bit more money on a cup of coffee. Let's see what Howard Schultz has to say. So first of all, to give you a setup, it says last quarter, Starbucks reported a surprise decline in same-store sales and slashes full-year forecast. And since the report, shares have fallen 17%. Analysts caught off guard by chain's underperformance have been looking for an explanation for why Starbucks' U.S. traffic fell 7%. 7% decline is massive. I'm just going to read a couple of things here. Schultz, who no longer has a formal role within Starbucks, wrote that the company needs to improve its mobile order and pay experience and overhaul how it creates new drinks to focus on premium items that set it apart. So I think that that's pretty solid business advice. Figure out different ways, like focus on your offerings, come up with premium services and other, you know, products or whatever offerings. I just call them offerings. And overhaul your customer's experience to get people to see value in and have desire to come back to you. It says the stores require a maniacal focus on the customer experience through the eyes of the merchant. The answer does not lie in the data, but in the stores. So you all could relate to this because you are all considered front line. And that just means that you're the ones interacting with the customer. Or if you have a business, you are the one running the business to the customer. It's not like you're some corporation with bureaucracy and high level. This is article by CNN by Parisia Cavalans. Sorry if I mispronounced that name. The title is Retailers Jacked Up Prices and Squeezed Consumers. They Might Have Just Blinked. So this is a topic that will come up at the Beauty Business Brunch on May 19th here in DC. So this is actually going to be a different panel. We have a panel on prices and value and customer experience. So all of this is going to be super relevant. So I'm going to read a couple of things for you here. This is like the article that I'll be spending the most time on. So it says retailers are feeling jittery. Consumers aren't shopping like they used to. In a game of chicken between stores and shoppers, it's the stores that appear to be yielding first by dropping prices on thousands of products. The markdowns come as inflation has pushed prices higher for the past 2 years, squeezing Americans and forcing them to choose between wants and needs. That's a problem not just for individual shoppers or big retail chains, but for the whole American economy, which about two-thirds come from consumer spending. So that is you. If you are in the beauty industry and you are frontline or a business that interacts with the customers, or you sell products or services to customers, this directly affects you. All right, I'm going to scroll down here. It says it's telling that these categories considered to be discretionary purchases, meaning things that are nice to have, but maybe aren't everyday necessities in the same vein as groceries and medicine. So discretionary spending. If you are a value or slash budget or lower price point for your market, you know, in each market, you're going to have a higher end in price points and a lower end in price points. If you're on the lower end, you might be considered more of a necessity. However, if you have raised your prices and customers have experienced a 20 to 30% price increase, then you potentially could, I mean, you know, this is very unique, so don't like hold a gun to my head or anything, Baba, on this, but basically, we all need to kind of revisit our prices and the value according to this. So Customers are being looked for value. And that continues down here. I'm going to read this. A lot of retailers have said that discretionary spending is slowing. People are buying essentials. They're also trading down in price. Trading down in price means that if you elevated to like a more luxury experience for your demographic, let's say your demographic, is used to paying, let's say, $50 for a haircut, but you're charging 85 or 90, then that customer who likes that experience may decide to either pull back, come in less frequently, or maybe what I've already seen personally happening is people will come to me for a cut, get a couple of cheaper haircuts, come to me to kind of bring the haircut back together, so they say. And that has nothing to do with, like, I'm not saying that anybody that charges less than me is not is love less skill level. This isn't about ego or purchasing. Like, I remove my politics and my opinion out of this stuff when I think about the market and money, and I hope that you do too. So please don't take this personally. Now back to the news. All right, so if you want to convince consumers to spend, you have to give them a reason to do so. Lower prices are a clear opportunity to drive people into the store or online. It's a lever that Walmart has said has pulled forever. Walmart said in December that lower grocery prices will be coming this year. It's a very effective lever. It's a great marketing strategy to cause consumers' awareness, get them into the store, and convince them to open their wallets and spend. There is this perception of value, and value is very much front of mind for consumers, even when as they continue to spend to some extent. So I implore you to pay attention to that. Now, for those of you who are like me and are in the higher end of the spectrum on prices, and you have customers that are in the upper income brackets, let me just share something with you. You are not out of the woods. As a matter of fact, let's see. Okay, here we go. The budget conscious consumer is no longer just the lower middle income earners. By far, the starkest decrease in intent to spend is coming from the higher income groups, and those that are previously the most immune to an economic downturn are now tightening their belts. I can contest to that. Retailers should be thinking about targeted deals and higher price discretionary merchandise too. So it's a discretionary spending if a person doesn't need it. Now, people need haircuts, but do they need a luxury service haircut? Now, we are recession resistant, and so, like, during the Great Depression and other bad economic times, hairdresser people were still getting the hair done, and some people would save up and not go in as frequently. Maybe the people will switch to doing their own color. I mean, I don't know. These are just ideas. Well, tell me what you think. Let me know if you've seen anything. And now I'm going to move on. So this is going to, now we're going into workers versus employers. The great resignation is effectively over. We're now in the great talent stagnation, where employers' biggest concern is the lack of qualified applicants. This is originally on Fortune.com, brought to you by Yahoo Finance, and it's by Jane Thayer. Sorry if I mispronounce that name. Okay, so let's look at this. Per the last annual Career Optimism Index study from the University of Phoenix Career Institute, more than half of the 5,000 U.S. workers surveyed said they feel easily replaceable at their workplace. Almost two-thirds said their company doesn't offer them chances to climb the ladder. About a third of workers said they felt company leadership doesn't recognize their contributions, which leaves them feeling disempowered and often leads to lower productivity. So this definitely applies to support staff. I can contest to that. And if you don't have an opportunity for your stylist or other beauty service providers to grow, then they're not happy. I mean, that's basically what this is saying. So let's scroll down. I got a couple of paragraphs highlighted here. It says that listless feeling can be significantly more harmful to the bottom line than a simple skills gap. Without opportunities to advance, workers are doubly likely to search for a new role. So if you've had people at your spot, and I feel like this is going to apply to the younger generation, especially as they're building, and it's well documented that backfilling an outgoing employee is more costly and time consuming than meeting them halfway. Now, Replacing a support staff might not sound expensive, but I'm telling you right now, I know I'm in the midst of like figuring out we have someone that's leaving and we have to replace them. And it's just so annoying. We have so much interviewing. I don't know about you, but 80% of applicants who sign up for an interview cancel or try to reschedule last minute. And of course, when they try to reschedule, I say, yes, you should reschedule with another salon. So it's really challenging. And that's also a part of this too. And I don't know if that's in this report, but that's the other thing that businesses are finding it really hard to find high quality candidates. So this article is saying you need to focus on the people you have and upskill them, get them trained up, offer them incentive to want to take that training so that you can have a stronger workforce. Now, well, like if you don't get the kind of vibe that I got right now, is I'm reading that some caution is not a bad idea right now. Now, I don't want you to get a scarcity mindset or live in fear, but I personally am getting defensive. All right, then there's the matter of feeling undervalued. Naturally, several years of layoffs, strikes, and a bone-chilling macroeconomy, which is what we're living in right now. I mean, you got like inflation's high, prices are going up. We had the Great Resignation, and then we have like the employee has all the power, and the pendulum is swinging back to the employer. Except the employer is fearful of a fragile economy. 42% said they worry about a weak economy costing them jobs, and 38% said their salary has failed to keep pace with inflation. Bad news, given that a similar proportion say they can no longer afford things they could just 2 years ago. So I think this is all super important information for business owners and for hairdressers. And just know that if you read the news or watch the news, I feel like there's a general positive sentiment, but these are the stories that I'm seeing starting to creep into my news feed. So let's get into the inflation aspect. Okay, so I just wanted to pull this chart up. If you're listening on podcasts, I'm showing a monthly inflation rate and annual inflation rate chart from 2014 to 2024. And you can see and from April 2020 to June 2022, inflation jumped like insane, like 9%. And now it's come down and it's hovering somewhere around 3 to 4%, somewhere around 3%. Can't quite get to 3%. The Fed's in target inflation is 2%. So until it comes down more or the Fed changes its mind, excuse me, expect that rates will stay higher, which means that people aren't trying to sell their homes because they know that people can't afford the interest. So that's making it harder for folks. So I don't know if I'm buying into the narrative that, oh, poor Gen Z doesn't have the same opportunity. I mean, maybe, perhaps, but the more we say that, the more it perpetuates into reality. And that is a fact that I'm sure all of you can appreciate. You know, and when we externalize or have people constantly telling us or we're constantly like telling each other a certain something that's manifesting into reality. While it may have some real facts, if we start to think longer term about our money and investing and not just what we want today, then perhaps we could look at things a little differently, because working, saving, you putting money in a place where I can earn, you know, 5% interest on my money, and versus saying, well, screw it, I don't have any money, so I'm just going to go buy a $12 pastry and an $8 coffee because it makes me feel good in this moment. That is literally the worst attitude to have. So hopefully that is not your attitude if you're listening to this. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to pull, we had a May report in the beginning of this month. We had information about the Federal Reserve and interest rates. This is a super big important thing if you want to scale your business or you want to borrow money and it's very expensive, and well, your customers are feeling it too. During its May meeting, the Federal Reserve unanimously voted to hold policy rates steady. There was hot inflation in the first quarter, but the Fed doesn't think it's going to continue. They also said that they're not going to continue to rate hikes for the foreseeable future. But they are starting to pull back the tightening, which means that just basically they're seeing the economy start to get fragile. So they're starting to change course, but baby steps, not the big step of lowering interest rates. Okay, so here we go. We got this is the Bureau of Labor Statistics for CPI. We can see in March, the consumer price index for all urban consumers increased 0.4%. Seasonally adjusted rose 3.5% over the last 12 years. That's pretty high. I mean, we're supposed to be getting closer and closer to 3 and getting below 3%. Like I said, unless the Fed changes its mind on how they figure this stuff out, then expect this, what I'm saying, to just like be the case. Okay, so on May 15th, so that's tomorrow, we were going to get another CPI. So next week when I come to you, I'll have where we've been and where we're at now. And so now I got a couple of clips I'd like to play for you. This is on YouTube. It's Yahoo Finance. This is a 90-second clip. I think it's really important. The title of the video is U.S. Economy Will Run a Lot Slower in the Second Half of the Year. So check this out. Go.
Consumer sentiment taking a hit as inflation fears remain. Now, this month's prelim reading showing that sentiment actually fell to the lowest level that we've seen in 6 months. Here to break it all down, what exactly this is telling us, maybe about growing weakness within the broader economy, if at all, we want to bring in Jeffrey Roach. He is LPL Financial's chief economist. Jeffrey, it's great to have you here. So talk to me just about that sentiment reading. I think spooked some investors, maybe to some extent here, is just the fact that it did fall to the lowest level that we have seen in 6 months. But is there anything, any takeaways that you're seeing just in terms of what that could ultimately signal about the health and the strength of the economy?
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. And yes, I think it was interesting for investors because we got a little bit of confirmation from the conference board's release, told us something about consumers pivoting away from big ticket items. We got that confirmation in the latest survey from the University of Michigan. And I think this what this tells us really is that the slowdown is starting to happen. But I don't know if we will understand quite the magnitude quite just yet as consumers do pivot away from those big ticket items. I think another thing that was a key driver for last week for markets was the latest estimate and blog post from the San Francisco Fed talking about excess savings being drawn down. So I think it's fair to expect the second half of this year is going to be running a lot slower than what we saw throughout 2023.
Okay, so translation, going back to what I said earlier, you see how all these things are connecting? And these are articles that are within the last, I think, 2 weeks. So this is, let's see if this kind of sentiment and perspective persists. In the meantime, I'm personally making some adjustments to rein in my spending, save more. You know, he mentioned that savings are down. If you've run down your savings, then maybe this is a signal. I mean, I can't give you financial advice because I'm not a licensed financial advisor. So you have to do your own research and make your own decision. But that's what I'm doing. I'm thinking, well, I want to be the opposite. I'm paying down my credit card, increasing my savings, reining in my spending. Can you do it all at the same time? Yes, but most people have linear thinking and feel like they can only do one thing at a time. It's like, first I got to pay off my debt, then I got to save. But then you pay off your debt and the economy crashes, you have no savings, then what? So I constantly pay myself every single pay period. Actually, it's the 1st and the 15th. I have an automatic deduction that I've been doing for years. I started off as $50 twice a month. Now I'm up to $150, and that doesn't hurt me. At $50 in the beginning was a little tough, but I made it work. So anyway, not financial advice. Do your own research. All right, so I got one more thing. Andrew Ross Sorkin here on CNBC is going to mention the GameStop situation. So if you're not familiar with it, the guest on the show will explain it.
What do you think of this whole GameStop situation all of a sudden coming back in the marketplace? Does that say something more, you know, broadly about where we are?
I think it says a lot about the psychology and the investing behavior of different generations. And I think it's really interesting to see that, especially for millennials, for Gen Z investors, there's a lot more focus on the short-term investing
right.
behavior.
I was gonna say, it's kind of call it investing. You know, it's kind to call it investing.
Exactly.
Trading and gambling.
It's trading, it's gambling, it's quick payoffs. Yeah. Instead of, look, we're investing for 5 years, 10 years, which is ultimately the time horizon we should have for equities here. So I think a lot of that is a reflection of a new generation of investors. And in part, it's good, I think, especially given the low affordability of housing now, to build wealth for the younger generation is going to have to be through financial assets versus real assets like housing. But it's important to change the mentality, exactly, to be much more long-term investing than trading. And there's tons of interesting opportunities in the long term, both here in the U.S. as well as overseas, especially in Asia.
Kind of all those two videos kind of summarized and brought in together. And that way you're not listening to me say it. You're listening to people who know what they're talking about, although I like to think I know what I'm talking about. But nonetheless, that's the whole point of the news, is to bring to you the latest stories and curate them to help you understand or give you the information so that you can make the best decisions for you and your business. All right. Have a good one.